is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, October 28th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have an open line Friday. That's right, you can call in and we can talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. Anything that is trending in the news, that is trending in social media, that you want me to comment to and ask my opinion or such, or you just want to engage and express your frustration or your likes or anything like that, kindly call in. I'll be happy to engage you and entertain you. And the number today is 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And the text line is 422-GR96, which is 422-4796. And before I start, I actually have a live read. This is my first live read, so bear with me as I do this. Bahamas National Trust Wine and Arts Festival. Okay, that's right. This weekend is the Bahamas National Trust Wine and Arts Festival. Sample over 60 wines from all-inclusive price for just $40 from the BNT. BNT members are $40 and $50 for non-BNT members. Sand Dollar Digital Payments, which will be powered by SunCash, will be one of three payment methods accepted at the gate. The first 500 people to pay with Sand Dollar will get $10 off their tickets. Also, the first 500 people to visit Sand Dollar booth inside the festival will receive $10 top-up. If you don't have a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet already, download one before you get to the festival. Visit sanddollar.bs/get-involved for a list of authorized digital wallet providers. I'm kind of excited about this weekend because all kind of big things are happening. And the Bahamas National Trust Wine and Art Festival is a big deal. And I'm happy that Sand Dollar is going to be there and to give you an option to pay via Sand Dollar. So I'm excited about that because I'm a downloader and I'm able to take advantage of that. But again, today is Open Line Friday. So, like I said, you can call in and be happy to talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. But as usual, I have one or two things I found interesting in the news. And I will present it to you and hopefully you find it interesting too. First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Jasmine Davis. I met her in the foyer earlier, and she won two separate prizes from two separate Guardian Radio shows. She's a avid listener of Guardian Radio, and I just want to give a shout out to her and say, yeah, I hear you, I see you, and thank you very much for listening, Miss Davis. But what is it that I want to talk about? As usual, and for the past 3 weeks, immigration and shanty towns in the news. That is the most talked about issue that is happening inside the Bahamas. And I find it interesting that for a non-crisis issue, everyone seems to be talking about the shantytown issues, right? And what I found interesting is, even though we're talking about shantytowns, right, everything seems to be focused on Abaco, right? I believe because only the dog that cries out gets to know that something has happened or wrong with them. We know that that one is being hit. And definitely we know that the people in Abaco are crying out. They claim that they're being overwhelmed. They are concerned. And of course, because of that, the government is seemingly responding. Recently, we had both Abaco MPs claiming that the island is in crisis. And of course, we had the Minister of Immigration defining that what crisis is and say clearly, Abaco is not in a crisis, and clearly the Bahamas is not in crisis. And he also bragged that they had intercepted boats on the high seas, and they have deported or sent home over 2,000 people who they caught on the high seas. Didn't go in detail about persons who are already on island, but he did brag with that and say that's something big that the Bahamas should be proud of, right? And we also see that the prime minister, he also said there's no crisis, right? But definitely that immigration is a world problem and that Bahamas needs to find a solution that best suits them and make sure that the Bahamian citizens is being satisfied and not directly impacted or negatively impacted. We see the Minister of National Security also saying that it's not a crime crisis. I mean, not an immigration crisis. And he also saying that it's not a crime crisis. I'm sure a number of persons are concerned about what he determined is a crisis. And he, too, gave a definition. The Attorney General, he said he planned to do some contempt proceedings. And we're trying to understand what is that exactly. Apparently, what he planned to do is anyone who did not follow the injunction, that means built in Abaco without permission. Of course, you couldn't get permission because, you know, the justice said that it's a stop on all building in Abaco in the shanty towns. And of course, the government cannot demolish any shanty towns. So anyone who's in contempt in the future, the Attorney General said the Bahamas plan to do contempt proceedings. So we're waiting on those dates on when will this happen and what does that mean to the shanty towns, right? We know that there are over 26 shanty towns just in New Providence, right? We know that there are bigger shanty towns in around the Bahamas than what's in Abaco. Abaco is kind of one of the small ones, even though it's grew to be 500 acres. We see when we were talking about the illegal harvesting of lumber trees, coal, that was it. That is thousands of acres in the back of Carmichael Road. But we had no information on that, right? And we heard a Minister of Works also having some communication regarding the shanty towns. He said that there will be like a committee formed in the future, a committee formed to deal with the shanty towns. And we know we are very familiar with the PLP's committee and their formation. But he also reminded us that there are a number of Bahamians involved who live in the shanty towns. So you know if there's Bahamians living in the shanty towns, you can't be running them out and moving them. And he said there are a number of children involved in the shanty towns. So you know if there are children involved, we have a duty of care to make sure that these children and, of course, these Bahamians are protected and cared of. So I found that interesting in the news. And of course, these are things I think the Bahamian people need to push and to remind our politicians that we're watching. And we just can't have them just be using it as a talking point. But I see all the lines are lit up on the phone. So let's get the callers to engage me and say what's on their mind. So producer Patch, the first caller through. Go ahead, caller. Garden Radio in the AM.
Godly day, this is Dr. Weiss, along with you. What's your name again?
I forget my name at times, too, no. But you call me host, and I shall answer. I'm a host.
Okay, let me say something. Several things I want to say, right?
Go ahead.
Those people that work for government, they got to start doing the work. Government got to make these people work, because that is our tax money they are playing with. For about over 2 years, I've been calling the people that responsible, the people that to be responsible for dogs, not human society, for animal control, mm-hmm. Right? I had called the police gave me a number to call them, I called them. For 2 years, they haven't done anything. They got to stop joking because they're supposed to be working for our money. Okay, the dogs always on my porch, and stuff like that, and they stink. I don't.
Raymond, you there? You going? Sorry about that. I remember I spoke about you to the CLAP people who were here, the Community Legal Aid Program, and I wanted them to address one or two the 2 year concerns, and they left their number, say, hey, you can call and make an appointment, and you can use that avenue to address some of your concerns. But I do have another caller on the line, so you can pass that caller through, producer.
Hang up and then dial.
And they are gone. It's a great show as usual. You see how those vipers, Rob Sanials, the people who did it, their belly should break down in traffic. Putting on that OBO on those people who robbed Sanials. But I did see the video, and that's daring to go into the store and guns blazing and have guns pointed at you. I know I couldn't stand it. I would have had a couple of days off after that because they put the guns to these people's head. And to know that we have Bahamians who are so violently charged to barge into people's personal property and to rob them. I am concerned. Even though crime is not a crisis in the Bahamas, I am concerned because these things can't be normal. This can't be our new normal. But I see you have another caller there. Can you pass the caller through? Go ahead, caller. Garden Radio AM.
I didn't finish.
You didn't finish?
No.
Go ahead.
My other point is, right? People that are getting steak on their plate when they want it, they don't care about the Bahamian people. You know, speaking about when you said the minister said that it's not a crisis or crisis and stuff like that, those people are straight. Do you think they're thinking about me or you?
Mm.
And the thing is, I have a question for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm your man. Give me a question.
The question is, do you think it make any sense handicapped people voting for governments to get in the House of Assembly? And if you think so, tell me why.
I say don't vote and see if anything change.
Say it again?
I say don't vote and see if anything change. Go ahead. Let's see how that works.
I got you. Don't vote and see if anything
And see
change.
If anything would change, yeah.
Anyway, my last point is, right? You listening?
Am I listening?
And yesterday I had called, and when you heard my voice, you say, Lord, have mercy.
I as a Christian man, talking, and I be praying all the time. I call upon the Lord every chance I get.
Let me say
God.
Something. Let me finish my speech, man.
Lord, have mercy.
You can't be talking in people's head because you have the mic, and when people call you when you open the mic, open the phone to have people call, then you disapprove of what they're saying or you hang up on them. That's indecent.
It
Thank
is.
Thank you.
But no, don't go yet. You still there?
I
love you, man. But as a Christian man,
you
I
sure?
am. I'm not sure which God you worship because I as a Christian man. Okay, and every time I get frustrated, you know what I shout out? Every time I get happy, you know what I shout out? Every time I get sad, you know what I shout out? Guess
but
what?
You could tell when
I is
you,
shout out, Lord have mercy. Why? Because my Lord has come down and say, Cecil, you are a child of mine, and touch me
you
on
know,
my shoulder
you know
and
my
say,
Bible
I have patience.
Me?
What's your Bible say?
My Bible says to me,
mm-hmm.
all of sin.
And come short.
Okay, and all man is a liar.
Liar is a pit of hell.
Thank you.
Praise God. Yeah, man. But I wish to hear you again when you call back. But I have another caller there. Can you pass the caller through? Hello there, caller.
Good afternoon, Brother Nui. How are you doing?
Blessings to you. Lord have mercy. I'm glad it's you on the line today.
Yes, man. You know, my name is Christian name also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all our names are Christian names. See, the fact of the matter is, my African name is Kudum. They call me Kudum.
Kudum.
See, the fact of the matter is, this country is a slave country. This country is a corrupt country. And when people call it corrupt, this part of this won't get mad. I agree with him and the civil service, they need to start doing the job and go home. And I don't know why they bring back all these old people.
Mm-hmm.
The young people will never have a chance to be PSS and workers in this country. And this is why we have a serious problem with the ministers of police on the force because they ain't going the right way. You understand? See, we need to fix this country. Farmers not broke.
But let me engage you if I can. Before you finish, I don't want you to hang up. I want to ask you one question.
Okay, go ahead.
You used the word the Bahamas is a corrupt nation. And I've seen corrupt nations in the Middle East, right? I've seen corrupt nations in the Caribbean. I've seen corrupt nations in Africa. We ain't there. So a corrupt is kind of a harsh word, man. Why you won't call my nation corrupt?
Let me tell I'm you not why a corrupt.
You, we have issues. We have issues, yes, and I agree with that. Issues. But corrupt is a wrong word.
No, no, we are corrupt. See, plenty of people get rich in this country by doing all kind of bad things and running church and doing things, but daughters be able to 3 and 4 generations a year.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't can get away. The children they can get away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They know they do a lot of wrong, taking people land, quiet entire life, keeping people land, you know, all kind of fools. I thought they're taking generations of people land.
Mm-hmm.
But see what is gonna happen, Numi, right? And see people say it's so harsh and hard. I speak the truth, I be on in the city every day. The problem that they say, but I grew up with Haitians who go and say who go and say a community like me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had no problem with them, you know. The problem is with the Haitian inflation challenges. They have the problem with the ones who are just coming in the country now. And you know how we be, me people go. They send oil back. How you can send oil back to some of them born before God, I mean, before independence?
So you don't believe you should send oil back?
No, that's what me people say. Not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when they get frustrated, they say send oil back. And I say oil ain't wrong. Some of them on the fourth of these forces, and guess what? They do their job, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
They do their job. You see, and see, if you move, see, Mr. Nui, I can lie to you. They got a lot of people borrow money from the government.
Yeah.
By the Bahamas, the guarantee loan for education and the Bahamas Development Bank, they know they won't pay this money back. And you'd be surprised who bought these monies. We need a freedom of information up. You see who owns this land. We need to take back all these keys and they got to buy it back again. See, it needs to stop, Brother Nuri. And listen to me. The last Bahami person who were in Bremer World riot 1942 and in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
They're the last of the real Bahamas. All we have in the country is a bunch of murderers. Bunch of murderers talking. They do passive. And so Lenin Pillen say, if we don't fight this country, my brother, then what? We don't let that happen, and it's going to happen.
I don't believe in no riot, though. Yeah, man, but I don't believe in no riot. Just letting you know. But thank you very much for calling. Give me the next call again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, no, how you doing?
I'm doing well. God be praised, man.
Hey, that's God. Set a 2 points together, eh?
Yes, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I do that, I don't really call my country corrupt. Your own country, not a corrupt country, so... Yeah, one of these days you could rectify that, you know?
Yes.
It's not my show. If my show, I won't have people insult my behemoths like that.
Well, we definitely have open engagement, especially on open lying day.
Yeah.
And I questioned why he used the word corrupt. I'm sure you heard that part. And I said corrupt is kind of a harsh word, especially when I've noticed other corrupt nations, and we far from that. We have some issues we need to fix.
Yeah,
he ain't corrupt.
The whole world got issues. They got their problem. When you call me corrupt, you call the country corrupt, you call me corrupt, you call you corrupt.
But I want to engage corrupt. You today. Can I ask you some questions instead of you volunteering and say what you want to say?
It depends
on you, because I won't ask you one or two things, because I know who...
Let me shoot them two. That's two. I fast.
Okay, go ahead.
One the opposition leaders, beating a dead horse. The prime minister, they were a great accomplishment going to Bermuda. Some of the staff. And on the shiny time... When we start taking the law seals and charging the Bahamians, but they're on private land, you know that, you and I know that, charging them from breaking the law. If I hide a legal migrant, that's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
I could go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But let's reinforce our law. That's for a simple solution. Force the Bahamians, take them to court. Shoot it, Mario, what you got?
Okay, that's okay. Mario's my cousin. I know him well. He used to work at Zedness.
That's my boy, Mario. You know that?
Yeah, all Nuri's talented. I just adopted
him. Bring him on the show one day. Go ahead.
And talk about what? Anyway, continue. My question is, I see in Bermuda trip, right? Is it usual that a political party borrows from the treasury and say, man, pay for us in advance and we'll pay you back? Because that's what it seems. Then I said, perhaps... Because I listened to the Prime Minister and his explanation. It was a political trip, right? Meaning that it was a government-sponsored trip, right? And that he later on decided to say, you know what? I'll ask the political party to pay for it because the dynamics change, right? And I would like to know, like, when did he decide that? Did he decide that mid-trip before he went? You know, why did he decide that? Because it was an official trip and something happened. Something happened that he said, man, even though I'm going to carry out government business, I ain't going to have us pay. And why only pay peace? You know, it caused angst and frustration in people. I'm saying, hey, what kind of thing going through here? Go ahead.
Yeah, you finished?
Yeah, man.
I listened to the chairman of BRB this morning, and what the remark he said is justifiable. Like I mentioned, opposition should have get the facts placed at time.
We didn't get the facts. It's been weeks now. I mean, this has been lingering inside social media for going on 2 weeks. You know, I mean, I know I do mode it, and I said, man, that's someone playing. That's ain't real.
Yeah,
this can't happen.
Mostly by the opposition trying to score bad points.
Mm.
You know, I don't think the prime minister already answered that. Chairman already cleared that up. So I mean, let's go on to bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to making the economy developing our own resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna look at marijuana as our own resources, let's look at that. Going to be a medical thing, let's look at that. But, I mean, what I say to the opposition, pick some nice things to talk about.
Some nice things.
Don't waste my time. Don't waste it on your time. Did I mean that? Because you don't look good at doing the next F&M convention anyway.
No, man, I hear you, and I agree, yeah. Parts of what you're saying, so definitely.
I said I because Dr. Minutes look good. According to my sources.
Dr. Minutes still in politics? He's still in politics? I thought he had a by-election in the area.
Well, yeah, man, you don't watch Parliament, eh?
Clearly, I didn't forget for Dr. Minutes that he's still there.
Yeah.
Has he been in the news still? Because I remember once upon a time he was in the news every other day.
No, he wasn't in the news. He's working on a strategy to make a comeback to be the leader.
Oh, okay.
But the other leader, but the leader now, you don't understand that. You know, I on the ground, you see.
You on the ground.
No, he ain't gonna be. You see, he's holding on until 2026.
He holding on.
He ain't gonna be there 2026. Write that down now, Punkinito.
Yeah, Punkinito, I can write it down so we can talk about this. We can talk about this.
You might think I talking for it. No, man.
I think, but perhaps Shannon Dawn Cartwright might take it.
I like him. He should take it now.
You should take it now.
Yeah, because
take it just to be the opposition leader. Man, I thought he tried to be prime minister.
You know, I like though, but he should be the deputy. My boy who makes me laugh all the time, Adrian, Adrian Fox, then on.
White.
Adrian White, yeah, Adrian White.
Mm-hmm. You like him?
I love him.
Oh, he could be prime minister, you think?
No way.
No, never.
I got eyes, you stupid eyes, they never know.
Okay.
Only God can say that, but I mean, he's young.
Young.
Don't get me wrong. He's wrong. Maybe I have to see some growth in him.
Hmm.
I have to see, you know. But right now, I take care of people's business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Parliament, I watch him all the time.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful to let up and the speaker make him look like a little boy all the time.
The speaker does rag him.
Yeah, ragging him, making a little bit of psychology on him.
Yeah. But Punkinito, I enjoyed you. I got one or two texts.
Thanks for entertaining me, man.
Yeah, man, that when you call, I don't mind engaging you. I try to engage everyone.
Hopefully, I engage for an hour one day.
No, I don't know if that can happen, but we can see how that happens.
So you don't know that can happen.
You want me to lie to you? I'm honest, man.
You don't like my opinion?
No, it doesn't matter. But like the opinions. I don't know if I can talk to you for a whole hour or getting frustrated.
Oh, you get frustrated when I talk there?
No, not all the time. But I mean, for a whole hour. You imagine me in a whole hour, then you ban for the show all together.
You get paid by intelligence, you get frustrated.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's why I say.
I know you just love people's opinion.
Yeah, for that 5 minutes. Not for the whole hour, though.
Oh, I hear that. All right, have a good day.
Yeah, man, blessings. I enjoyed you for that 2-3 minutes. Take care. We're going to have a commercial break right now. Our producer looked like he wanted me to go quiet for a minute. So we'll be right back. Guided Radio in the AM with C.A. Murray.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in AM with C.A. Nuri. And I have a text here. Can you hear me, producer? Yes, I'm on. Okay. I was saying, welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And I have a text here that says, good morning, C.A. I would like to pick your brain, please. Downtown by the Straw Market, there is a memorial slash statue of a woman holding a baby. Do you know the story behind that? If so, please share. And actually, I am familiar with the story. It was a tribute done by Mr. Johnson, former MP, who would be the father of Italia Johnson and what's a doctor? Dr. Danny Johnson. So he partnered with, was that Adi Hanna? Adi Hanna at the time. And produced that statue. The artist is out of Abaco, and sadly, I don't remember the artist's name, but his entire family creates statues. I mean, they are the premier statue makers in the Bahamas. I think the government needs to engage them some more to create more busts and statues of icons in the Bahamas. So that was dedicated particularly for the black women in the Bahamas to give tribute. So every year, for Year of the Women, tribute to women, parliamentarians, and led by the Johnson family and the Hanna family, tend to go to that statue and lay a wreath. This year, the Prime Minister's wife, she went down and led that delegation and gave tribute to women in general, even though the statue is of a black woman and child. It's a give tribute to all women in general, Bahamian women in general. So I hope that tidbit of information helps you regarding that. I see I have another caller there. Producer Pastor Caller's room. How you doing, caller? It's open line Friday today. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy, happy, happy Friday.
It's a happy Friday. It is.
Yes, it is. You know, my question has to do with, I heard you talking to Poncanito concerning the Bermuda trip, and he is saying that about the FNM. The FNM was not the one to start this. This came up from a Guardian reporter that saw this printed in the Bermuda paper, and that is how the Bahamian people knew about what happened. Okay, so it's not the FNM that's hoo-rearing over this. Everybody, and I don't understand, when in this country are we going to call wrong? Can you help me with that, please?
It's a concern. My concern is that for an official trip, and this is where the debate comes on, for an official trip, where we have BIS, we have a office of the press secretaries. Nobody came and reported what happened in Bermuda to us. What was the purpose or objective of the trip? What was signed? What documents? What's going to be the future? Bermuda went in detail. They said that we were in discussions with ministers and so on. There were three or four ministers involved in this trip, and to this day, we're still grasping and begging for information on what was the objective of the trip. And most people inside the Bahamas just aren't really concerned. We can let it slide. And when we ask for some accountability, of course, you know, you get chastised and say, hey, why are you making it political?
It seems to be differ between the parties, because I am kind of positive, had this been under another administration, say the FNM administration, there is no way in the world to see Mr. Davis and Ms. Glennis Hannah Martin, those they would tear this apart. In a way, you would not go in without giving them an explanation. So I'm kind of disappointed in Mr. Pintar for not pressing for more. You understand me? But my thing is, ain't no way that I can put you in charge of my money and you're going to help yourself to it and then tell me about it later. That is downright stealing, like it or not. It is what it is.
Well, I'm definitely...
You're not supposed to do that. That is wrong. And as lawyers and persons been in politics for years, I know they know that was wrong. And if it was due with, like you said, originally it was supposed to have been a governmental to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he double talked, and people didn't notice that. He said he was invited from 2 years ago.
Mm.
This was an invitation he had for more than 2 years, and he had not decided whether or not he still wanted to go. But this was something he was going to do from 2 years ago. So how is it? I mean, when was the ticket, the plane paid for? Was it paid for on the day before when he decided, yes, he was still going? Or was it paid for the week before? How long in advance was this trip paid for out of the purse? As my concern, because that also would tell us, you know, some stuff about this repayment, if we would have ever gotten it back. Because if this was paid for the day before, and I say, okay, yeah, this was a last minute thing. When did Bessonnière got their check from the Treasury?
She was asked some questions, which I do not have the answers for.
And I know. I'm hopefully just sending it out there.
The Prime Minister. No, these were good questions, and hopefully the Prime Minister and his press secretary are listening.
And the press secretaries, I don't take their word for nothing because they always put one is putting foot in the next one mouth because they look like they never get it together. Let the Prime Minister speak on this and let him give us what the details of this trip was. Saying that they calling it political and we're getting some ambassador to send down there or whatever, the country needs to know. And me, as an inquiry mind, I want to know.
Yes, I'll put it through and keep on reminding them, and hopefully the answer comes out. I have another text here that said, oh, thank you very much, Colin. Great show as usual. I work in the downtown area and from 1999 up until now. So I'm qualified to make this statement. Downtown has all the characteristics of a shanty town. I mean, downtown is weathered. The term shanty town cannot be described or put upon, labeled upon downtown. It's definitely weathered. And the question is, what do we see downtown? What do we want downtown to look like? And in the future, downtown would look like, to me, like on the bay in Miami. What street that is? That's Flagler Street. That's what street that is. Collins Avenue. Anyway, I think it's going to be a lot of skyscrapers and very American-esque, Main Bay on Miami. And we need to discuss whether we want our Bay Street to look like that. And it got to change. You can't stay how it is. And I believe that the new construction of the port is going to be the impetus. And the construction of the U.S. Embassy will be the impetus of something dynamic. But I'm not sure if it's going to be something that we Bahamians feel attached and connected to. And that discussion needs to be had, too, to say what exactly we want downtown to feel. What do we want our tourists to feel? I expect in the future we could have more Burger King and McDonald's and Wendy's downtown to have that international flair. And the Bahamians will flock downtown to say, this is what they want. But I see we have another caller here. So producer Patrick, call us through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Open Line Friday today.
I appreciate that, my brother. Listen, this matter with this Bermuda trip, this is not going to go anywhere and go away anytime soon. The bottom line here is you have, you know, the Bahamian people have been asking for accountability and transparency for quite some time. And this new government has declared that this is the type of governance that we, the Bahamian people, will be receiving. The Freedom of Information Act is something also that the Bahamian people have been calling for, and to date it has not even been addressed. So we are left wondering how serious are these governing party governments when it pertains to what the people are demanding. How serious is it for them to deliver what the people are demanding? There was a lot of double talk as it pertains to this one incident, whereas the confusion was whether this was a politically sponsored trip or whether this was a goodwill trip. We are two different persons speaking on this. One saying it's a goodwill, the next one saying it's politics and a political trip. And, you know, it leaves the Bahamian people in a quandary and wondering whether our people are transparent, our government is transparent, and whether they intend to be accountable. You know, we have to fix our systems. And for those who are claiming that this matter is petty and all that stuff, I beg to differ, because if we as a people cannot demand, even if it was a simple matter, but the Bahamian people we're calling for transparency, and you decide that it is not their intent to be as transparent as possible to the people, then we already have a problem from the beginning. I'll close on this one very quick point here. The quick point is simply this. You claim that you are a New Day government and you will do the will of the people. You will bring about the changes that you claim the other parties were negligent in bringing to the Bahamian people. You claim that you are different. Let us see the difference in delivering the things that the Bahamian people are demanding to be presented. And it's as straight and simple as that, see it. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
I appreciate you calling. And your points are interesting. Mind you, I've seen the difference in administration from a Brave Davis compared or contrast to a Hubert Minnis. And I find Brave Davis is a breath of fresh air in terms that at least he addressed the issues, right? I feel it and I appreciate it. And there are one or two things they promised that I am uneasy and say, man, that ain't happening yet. But overall, I think he's doing a good job. This is a reference to Shantytown. I got a text here. Says, we continue to hear the narrative of behemoths being humane with this issue. But haven't we been overwhelmingly patient, considerate, and accepting? So much so that this issue is now out of control, in my view. Further, I think that narrative of humane is distracting, and it is not the real issue. We must enforce our laws, bottom line, or change them. Texter, I believe we can change the laws. I think that this Shantytown issue is beyond us, and it's a done deal. These people ain't going no place. And I'm keep on hearing the narrative between the Minister of Works and the Prime Minister of recent, where saying, don't forget that some of these people are bohemians, and we have a duty of care to bohemians and to children. When you're seeing that type of caveat in people's speech, and you're talking about shanty towns, we don't know what the conclusion is. We just ain't want to address the issue. The people have said, we will take in consideration the bohemians who live in there, and the children who live in there. And we know we have a housing crisis. We know we ain't have no low-cost houses. We can't find no house here for under $200 a month. So the people are going to be in the shantytown, and the shantytown will exist. The Prime Minister said that migration of people is a natural occurring thing. We'd always have migrants coming in and out of this country, and we need to find ways to mitigate it and ways to accept it. So, and we just not acknowledging what these politicians are saying. But I see I have another caller here. I passed the caller there, sure. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio is an open line today.
See, I'm calling back again. Mm-hmm. Let me just clarify the points that I'm making, that I made earlier. I'm not saying that the current PLP administration has not addressed or brought some things to light differently than the last administration. What I was referring to is that anything regarding the Bahamian people, this government has a responsibility to ensure that the Bahamian people understand beforehand, not after the fact, and not during the fact, but before they execute anything. They should come to the Bahamian people and give the Bahamian people the right to know what it is that they're doing. That is what a lot of this commentary is all about, you know.
That's reasonable.
It is, you know. It isn't the fact that they aren't out there doing anything for the Bahamas or they haven't done anything right in contrast to the last administration. But give the Bahamian people the right to know what is the government intending to do on behalf of the Bahamian people beforehand. And this is where the big problem comes in. All of this would have been avoided if they had been transparent in the intention, on the intention of this trip. And the previous caller, she made a very salient point. If this was a trip, for instance, this Bermuda trip was something that was planned from the invitation was given from almost 2 years ago, don't you think that the Bahamian people would have had a right, even though coming up to the planning stages of executing this, that you would have come to the public and say what was the intent of the trip? You left everything up to the speculation of the Bahamian people, and this is something that we need to stop doing. Make everything transparent. Let us know that you, our prime minister, or you, the delegation of the Bahamas, going to represent the Bahamian people in a different jurisdiction. Let we, the people, know that you're leaving the country, what the purpose of the trip is, what is the intention of the final analysis of the trip, and come back to the Bahamian people and report. We have yet to hear officially from the government what the intent of the trip was, and what was the whole outcome intended from the trip that benefits the Bahamian people. That's all it is. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks again for calling. I'm sure when Clint is in place, we can get all that details. I want to know if Blair is having any Halloween this Saturday and Sunday. You know, they're quiet. I'm used to crashing Blair's Halloween trick-or-treating, and they're quiet and I don't appreciate it. They have a duty of care to make sure the Bahamian people enjoy Halloween. And Blair and little Blair can't abdicate their responsibility for the entire New Providence. They need to continue their trick-or-treat tradition and don't be ignoring the Bahamian public. Also, I have a text asking about the Columbus statue. It's still wrapped up. I see there's construction on it. People are asking, will the statue be eventually moved? No, it shan't be moved. The statue and the government house are connected. They are one. They tell a story. And Columbus statue is the most photographed place in the Bahamas, so leave the statue alone. Right? It tells a tale that we are the gateway to the new world, and few tourists know that Columbus came here first. And that is a thing that will remind them that we are globally significant. But I see another caller here. Patrick caller through there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Go ahead. I can hear you now.
You can hear me?
Yes,
okay. I just want to thank you for keeping the topic of the illegal migrants, shanty towns in particular, in the airways, because I think it's an important issue. I think, in my opinion, that, you know, the government, they always hear about these issues, and then, you know, it's hot for a while, and then everybody goes quiet, and then the issue gets lost, seemingly, you know. But I also heard you saying you think that the issue of shantytowns is overwhelming.
Yes.
So, I mean, even if it is, right, this is a country we have to run. You can't let issues that are overwhelming make you say, well, we just have to accept it now. Mm-hmm. No. The issue has to be resolved, and I think that it can be resolved if we just enforce our laws and stop taking into account a lot of times the emotional part of it, because we have different departments and ministries in this country that deal with particular things, of course, like social services. I heard you say that, you know, most of these people or a lot of the persons on these properties or in these shantytowns are Bahamians. Okay, but we have a law. This is what law and order is about. So we have social services to deal with that kind of issue. You can't just say, okay, the problem is overwhelming, so let's just accept it and move on. That's not the correct path, right? Also, we have the Ministry of Works. We have laws against building illegally. We have procedures. We have to now try to make people and change the mindset of persons and reward people that follow the law, not people that do not follow the law. I think that we're on that path, right, where illegality is rewarded. And then we try to figure out, well, why this issue is so outstanding? Because we're not serious about it. And people see that. We're not dumb, you know. We see that. We're like, mama, they slack. They ain't gonna do it. You just, you know, if it's enough of us, they just gonna accept it. We have to change that mindset, Thea.
Ma'am, you're brilliant. You need to call more often. I appreciate you. That's the end. Call
them. I like listening to you. You make the issues exciting.
I just would be telling them. I saying that if they could add an extra $20 on my... Anyway, never mind. But thanks very much for calling, by the way.
Okay.
Thanks. I have another text here. It says, shantytowns are illegal. As such, all persons living there should be made to move. Bahamians included. No exceptions. The laws of the Bahamas must be enforced. This is not a banana republic. And that's because we don't sell bananas here. We don't export bananas. Now you say the pigeon peas republic. I would have said perhaps. But anyway, I have another call. I have another call here. Pastor, call it through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I don't often get the call, but good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. I'm excited a new caller, so thanks very much for calling.
Yeah. You know, there's going to always be, when you really look at it, there's going to always be poor people as long as they are trying to find a better way of life. And the Bahamas seems to be much, much better than what's going on in Haiti. So they're going to be struggling to get out, whether they come through your window, through your back door, or even through the front door by applying properly. There's going to be people who are going to be assisting them to become illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be politicians who are going to go and get the legal one to vote for them. And then, you know, I don't know if you remember, there was a time, I ain't calling no names, but there was a time when a certain party was winning so many elections, and everybody knew that with such a landslide every time, there had to be some, then they found some ballots. So obviously, the law that the lady was talking about, let me tell you about the law. The law, the courts are banks. The Ministry of Immigration is a bank. You pay $2,000 plus $1,000 insurance annually just to read the ad here. That's a banking system. And no one has ever disclosed how much money that immigration bank brings in every year. Do you know, Mr.?
And that's a good question to know, because I'm hearing that the there are persons who are seeking work permits who no longer go to their job or their employers to say, pay for their work permit. They go to immigration with their cash, their $2,000, and say, hey, I'm paying for my work permit personally because my employer said they ain't going through it. And they're going there in droves now, and to me, that's illegal. But this is what they're saying they're doing.
See it. The minute you are born, inside that cradle that you were born in, you know you were born with life. But guess what? Life and death are in the same cradle. So you must realize that there are going to be people who are going to see things the opposite way that you see it. And if you are hurting, you in like Haiti, Jesus, man, I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you are hurting and you could get out, and then you have a country like the Bahamas who will let you sit here for like 3-4 years, then 10 years, and then try to tell you get out, you're going to rebel.
So that means they come in. No matter what, you know, these people come in because their situation is dire.
And you see, the thing about it is our system of immigration is just a bank. I'm telling you, because I remember, I don't want to call his name, but that same leader who been 25 times told immigration officers, look, boy, I'm putting you all here to make some money, make what you could, because that's how things go. So the platform was set long time ago. Now, what we need to do is look at the treaties that the previous, not the previous one, but the same one, there was this member, some immigration or what you call that fellow who's, you know, foreign affairs, whatever you want to call that. Look at the treaties that they've been signing. They were nothing to benefit the Bahamas, because I could tell you, find one treaty that was signed that is benefiting the Bahamas, something that actually is a foreign policy. Could you name me one foreign policy that was signed in the benefit of the Bahamian people, or all just signed by foreigners to benefit them? Because Bahama was done for Chinese.
I hear you, Colo. And I can respond to you, but I would have to do some research, because we benefiting from Bahama. That's a great place. I know that
But did you know that if I show you a video, you'll change what you just said. Hey, have a good day, man.
Have a good day. I see another caller here, but I can read this while the caller being connected. And remove this text. Connect the caller. We know you all are used to slackness, but as Bahamians, we are tired of it. We will not accept illegal immigrants coming here. I guess that's illegally with guns and drugs and money on merchandise. Because when I import stuff, I have to pay customs. I pay taxes. They do not pay rent taxes. Nothing. It's illegal, criminal, and not fair. Time for change. Brave them finish. So they better start packing. That sounds like one of them COI type people. We're always talking off things. But of course, immigrants do pay taxes. If the immigrants are working legitimately to one of them construction companies, they got to pay NIB. They might can't claim, but they got to pay that. If they go into Super Value or Cost Right or Solomon's, they got to pay that VAT tax, because nothing is free. That's if they like rice and they like chicken. But they grow their own chicken. Anyway, if they want to drive on the road, they better pay that road duty. You know, so they paying taxes. Perhaps we could get some more taxes out of them. But that means that we got to accept and legitimize more. And I'm not sure if we're ready for that, you know. But anyway, I have another call here. Pastor, caller, through. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, CA. Good morning, CA.
Hey, God be praised.
You agree with the rule of law and law enforcement, yes or no?
Yeah.
Good, great. Quick question. If you read the Constitution of Haiti...
No. I don't read Constitution of Haiti. Oh. Just, if you're going to say the Constitution, we're talking about the Bahamas only. I don't deal with immigrants, Constitution of other
calm
countries.
Down.
No, I don't want to hear about no Haitian Constitution.
Do you read about the Bahamian Constitution, Article 7?
Go ahead. I like that.
If at the time you are the citizen of some other country and you are coming to my country to swear away from that country to be a citizen of this country,
yes,
you shall not be eligible if you are the citizen of some other country.
Okay.
The other country in question doesn't allow you to swear away.
I don't care what the other country said. So you stop. Take that part out.
Wait. You can't be a dual citizen in this country.
Okay.
Law is law. Okay. And you have to follow our rule of law that says you cannot get my passport if you have the citizenship of some other country.
Okay.
That's my law.
Yes.
So you are the citizen of some other country.
No, I don't want to hear about the other country ticket. Say, stop talking about the other countries. Just talk with us.
Okay. Then all passports that have been given are null and void due to the fact that we cannot have dual citizens in this country.
And no person who gets sworn into the Bahamas have dual citizens.
Yes. If at the time you were born anywhere in the world, woman, married or unmarried,
uh-huh.
you are automatically a citizen of that country.
Okay.
And they do not recognize renouncing.
Yes.
So therefore,
no, remember, you start talking about other countries again. I don't want to hear about the other countries.
Question.
Just about the Bahamas.
Well, you see, this is the problem.
No, there's no problem. You just anti-Bahamas and always want to talk about other people's constitution. Stick with the Bahamas.
I am telling you the constitution of Bahamas.
Good.
But look, when you were born in this country,
yes.
having come from Canada
yes.
or the Caribbean, why is it that you go and register a child in my country instead of registering the child in the country of the parent's nationality?
I don't want to hear about those other people registering their country.
Okay,
stick
I'm going.
To the
you
Bahamas.
Know why? I got to go because you don't want to hear the truth. Have a good one.
You're just making up the truth, and I don't plan to have you make up the truth on this air. You notice that no politician, no lawyer, no one ever come and say, okay, Mr. Graham Redford is right. You never study law, nor constitutional law, but you want to interpret it. And I got to determine, who do I listen to? Do I listen to the educated QCs or KCs and stuff, or do I listen to Graham Redford, the what person who's do the air condition and for the sunlight thing? I have to decide, and I decide not to listen to Graham on that one. If I want to get a solar energy, I'll say, Graham, come and talk about solar energy. If I want to talk about the Constitution, I can find someone else. But let me get this next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, a pleasure. Good morning to you. Hope you're doing well.
Good. It's always good. You call at the end of the show when I have 3 minutes, man.
Listen, I was trying to get in, but I couldn't. But, you know, see, a couple of weeks ago, you heard on that activist from Barbados, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what did she say Ms. Motley did to the Shanty Town?
She said that their constitution is different from ours, but she said that...
It wasn't a constitutional issue.
Mm-hmm.
That she knocked the shanty town down.
And let me engage you for 2 seconds.
And
2 seconds.
Were her people, CA?
Yeah.
Who were breaking the law?
But let me engage you for 2 seconds. I want you to answer one or two questions, right? You've noticed, one, you said that it was her people she break down. We know that when we had Bahamians in the domes, our government knocked them down too. We do the same thing like what they did in Barbados.
Remember,
we're going back and forth.
See,
this is the question I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Right? At this present time, there is a constitutional motion that's saying that what the Bahamian government doing is constitutionally illegal. So this is what the injunction is about. We are testing our constitution to whether our government could even destroy a shanty town.
Which part of the constitution speaks to where citizens don't obey the law that the government is held in contempt of the law.
And this is why we have under judicial review now for that same question. Ask that question again, and like I said, this is what we're doing right now.
No, but there ought not to be any kind of constitutional... When they wanted to arrest Lincoln Bain, did they have any... Was he breaking the law?
That was not an issue of constitution. That was an issue of law. Now we're talking about constitution, the highest court in the law.
This is a matter of legality. If you and I... Whoever go and build something illegal, do we need to go? Is there a constitutional review concerning that?
And I would agree with you. It shouldn't be one. I'm just present. 1 minute. I agree with you. I agree with you that it shouldn't be one.
Are we a country of laws or not?
Remember, the Constitution is the supreme law.
Yes,
and the Constitution has been questioned. No. So we have a duty. We are legally bound. We,
uh-huh. You know, it's the... It's the courts that got our country messed up, you know.
Perhaps.
It's the court. The court, the government is comprised of it's a tripartite component. You have the member, the House of Assembly, which comprises the elected member of parliament. You have the executive, which includes the cabinet, and you have the judiciary.
You're preaching. And we have limited time. You know, we got to get your point out.
Yeah, but and the judiciary has to understand that they are part of the governance of this country.
Let me ask you this. We can dictate to the judiciary and tell them that their opinions and adjudication of the law does no longer matter. It's only what we say is important. We could do that. I'm not sure if that's a good thing,
but we could do that. But
whereas,
I know time is running out, they must understand, yes, they have autonomy, but their ruling can be appeal. That's why you have an appellate court.
Do you
and
believe
that's why
that
you have a chief justice who is
And that's what the government should do.
He should say to these justices, you are part of the good governance of this country, and the cases that is pertaining to the government of this country, I want you to adjudicate them.
And I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you.
The laws that are passed in the House of Assembly, they are passed to the, they are drafted by the Attorney General Office in accordance with the Constitution of the Bahamas. So it shouldn't be nothing where it takes
I'm going to start up next week with the same question. And I'm hoping you're listening so we can discuss that and you called earlier. The government has a duty of care for when there's a judicial review about our Constitution. And that's what they're doing. This is Guardian Radio in the AM, and I got to go because the news is next. Have a wonderful day, and get well soon, Warren, because I hear you're feeling sick. Take care.